It's a good day, it's a good, good day, can't wait to go to school. It's a good day, it's a good, good day, I'm on my way to school. I'll see my teachers and my friends, we'll explore and learn again. It's a good day, it's a good, good day, can't wait to go to school. It's a good day, it's a good, good day, can't wait to go to school. It's a good day, it's a good, good day.
Hi everyone, it's Miss Lily, or Charlie as many of you know me, and I'm so thrilled to welcome you back to the next set of episodes of this podcast. In Perfect Balance, conversations at the heart of the Montessori Learning Triangle. Before we dive in, I want to take a moment to thank you all for the feedback, comments, and conversations you've shared with me about the episodes so far. My goal with this podcast has always been to inspire discussions and to encourage all of us to think more deeply about our part in education. From what I've heard, that's exactly what's happening, and I couldn't be more grateful. So thank you for listening, for engaging, and for continuing to motivate me along this journey. Now that the school year is underway and we're all settling back into the rhythm of our classrooms, I think it's the perfect time to talk about the formation of community. Bringing people together is one of the most important tasks in any workplace, but in a school, it becomes absolutely essential. Trust is the foundation of everything we do. Parents are trusting us with their children. Teachers are guiding and caring for those children, and the children themselves are doing the hard work of development and self-construction. None of this can happen in a meaningful or comfortable way without trust. So how do we build that trust? Well, I believe it begins with community, with the rituals, routines, and daily practices that create familiarity, strengthen bonds, and weave us together. And in Montessori philosophy, one of the most powerful tools we have for nurturing community is grace and courtesy. That's why grace and courtesy will be the focus of this next set of podcast episodes. And there is so much to explore here. Remember, this podcast is built around the Montessori Learning Triangle, the three points that work together in harmony to create the strongest foundation for the child's growth: the child, the adult, and the prepared environment. The adult might be the Montessori guide, an administrator, a parent, a guardian, or even an educated friend, anyone who supports the child's development. The prepared environment, of course, is the space that holds and reflects this work. In our first set of episodes, we explored each of these points in depth. Going forward, I'll continue to return to the learning triangle as the framework for everything we discuss. Today, as we begin looking at the theme of grace and courtesy, I want to start with the child, and more specifically, the relationships we build with the child as they begin to understand and live out grace and courtesy in their daily lives. Grace and courtesy might be new concepts for some of you, so before we dive into the heart of this topic, I want to pause and reflect on what these words really mean. When we build community, one of the most important steps is making sure we share a common understanding of the vocabulary we use, and that we actually live out the words that guide our practice. So let's start with grace. What comes to mind when you hear that word? For some, it might be about moving with ease or carrying oneself with dignity. For others, it may bring to mind kindness, gentleness, or a quiet strength in how we interact with the world. In Montessori, grace is about all of these things. It's the way we carry ourselves in relation to others with respect, calm, and awareness. The word grace comes from the Latin gratia, meaning charm, favor, or thanks. I particularly love the connection to charm, because when we talk about grace, we're really talking about how we value ourselves. and how that inner dignity shines through. Grace is about the way we present ourselves, not just to others, but also to ourselves. In that sense, it's a form of self-love, an awareness of our worth, and how we carry that self-love into the world. When I think of grace, I picture those iconic figures who embodied it in their presence and actions. People like Princess Diana, Grace Kelly, Jackie Onassis, or Martin Luther King Jr. Each of them modeled a kind of quiet strength, dignity, and compassion that drew others in. That's the kind of grace we're speaking of in Montessori too, a presence that communicates respect, calm, and humanity. And then, of course, there's courtesy. How do we define that? What comes to mind when you hear the word courtesy? At its simplest, courtesy can be defined as behavior marked by polished manners or respect for others. But in Montessori, it goes deeper than that. Courtesy is about honoring the innate dignity and goodness of others. It is the set of behaviors and rituals we learn, model, and practice within our society so that we can reach out to people in a heartfelt way. Courtesy is, at its heart, the consideration of others. It is the practice of showing respect and kindness, not only through words, but also through actions, tone, and attitude. It's about being mindful of how our choices and behavior affect those around us. Whether it's something as small as holding a door, offering a kind word, or pausing to listen, courtesy is how we express care for others and create the conditions for community to thrive. All of this is to say that grace and courtesy is the foundation of building community in any school, but especially in a Montessori school. In the Montessori classroom, grace and courtesy lessons are those small but powerful presentations we give to children. How to say excuse me when someone is in your way. How to move and push in a chair. Or even how to blow your nose politely. These lessons are woven into the fabric of daily life and repeated throughout the school year. Through them, we establish the expectations of our community, how we treat ourselves, how we treat one another, and how we treat the environment around us. Without grace and courtesy, the community would slip into chaos. With them, the classroom becomes a place of respect, harmony, and belonging. For the children in the classroom, grace and courtesy touches nearly every part of daily life and the environment. These lessons may seem simple on the surface, but together they create the foundation for a peaceful and respectful community. So let's take a moment here to identify some of the most common presentations of grace and courtesy we give in the Montessori classroom. Practical everyday courtesies include greeting someone with eye contact, a handshake, and good morning. Introducing yourselves or others by saying things like, "This is my friend Sam. Sam, this is Terry." Using polite language in context. Words like please, thank you, and excuse me. Asking for help in a respectful way. May I have some help, please? Or could you help me, please? We also have grace and courtesy presentations for movement and respect for work. These include things like walking carefully around a work rug without stepping on it, carrying a tray, chair, or sharp object safely and with control, waiting patiently if a material you want is in use, and observing another's work respectfully without interrupting. We have grace and courtesy presentations for community life, which include offering food or drink to a friend, blowing your nose and washing your hands afterward, knocking on a door and waiting for a response, especially in the washroom, pushing in a chair after standing up, and cleaning up a spill and leaving the space ready for others. And finally, we have grace and courtesy for conflict and peace resolution, which include presentations like interrupting politely by placing a hand on someone's shoulder and waiting, saying no thank you kindly when you don't want something, apologizing sincerely and making amends when harm is done, and using a peace object to take turns speaking during conflict resolution. Each of these lessons does more than teach manners. It gives children the tools they need to live respectfully with others, to care for themselves, and to maintain harmony in their community. These lessons can be presented to both the older children returning to the classroom and the younger children who are just beginning their Montessori journey. There is always something for everyone to take away from a grace and courtesy presentation. For the younger children, it provides a model of what is expected in the community. For the older children, the goal is often different. It's about stepping into the role of mentor or guide within the classroom. As you give a presentation, you can invite an older child to act as your assistant, demonstrating the lesson alongside you. For example, showing how to push in a chair or how to greet a visitor politely. Later, that older child can take on the responsibility of reminding friends if they forget, or even offering the lesson themselves to new or younger children. In this way, grace and courtesy becomes not just a set of rules, but a living practice of mentorship, leadership, and community building. These are skills that children can take on with them for life. It's also important to remember that grace and courtesy lessons should not be given in large group settings. At first glance, it might seem like circle time or a class meeting would be the perfect opportunity. Everyone is gathered, so why not present the lesson to everyone at once? But in practice, this approach often backfires. When presented to the whole group, children who are eager to participate end up waiting far too long for their turn, and inevitably quickly lose interest.
Oh my.
Older children who may have already mastered the lesson can become bored or disengaged. And perhaps most concerning, when the entire class is asked to sit through a grace and courtesy presentation, children may misinterpret the experience, wondering if they're being lectured or corrected because someone made a mistake. Instead of feeling empowered and respected, they may feel singled out, even if that was not the intention. Grace and courtesy presentations work best in small groups, precisely because everyone can be involved. In the Montessori classroom, small group work is joyful. Children love to learn alongside their friends. These lessons often feel more like role play than instruction, giving children the chance to act out how to greet someone, how to speak kindly, or how to show respect. Through these playful, interactive moments, children begin to internalize not just social norms, but also a sense of belonging and importance within their community. Another key element of grace and courtesy is the power of observation. Not every child needs to be part of every lesson. In fact, much of the culture spreads simply by children watching one another. For example, when I gathered a small group of 4 or 5 children to demonstrate how to roll a mat, it wasn't unusual to have several others standing nearby, quietly observing. Soon after, those observers would go off to practice what they had just seen, or ask their friends questions about the lesson. This is the beauty of grace and courtesy in Montessori. It spreads organically through curiosity, imitation, and the motivation to belong. Children are drawn to it because they see that by practicing these courtesies, they are participating in the life of their classroom community, and that's something they truly want. So, why is grace and courtesy so important for the child? We've shared a lot, but now let me share a story from my very first year in the classroom. At the time, I was working in China, and I devoted a lot of those first weeks not to Montessori materials, but to grace and courtesy, teaching children how to work with one another, how to show kindness, and how to build friendships. I believed then, and still believe now, that those relationships and that sense of community could go much deeper than any single lesson I could present. About a month in, a new student joined us, a tiny little girl named Francesca. She cried every morning when she left her mom, and sometimes she would cry all morning long through the work period. Her eyes would get red and puffy, and though I worried about her constantly, I didn't have the language skills yet to comfort her in the way I wished I could. Still, her mother trusted me. She would hug her daughter, hand her to me, and leave. One morning, a little boy named Qinghai, who had been with me the year before when I was an English assistant and was now in my Montessori class, came over to me and said that he would play with Francesca. He took her hand gently, offered her a tissue, and led her to the practical life shelf. She followed him. They sat side by side, and while she cried quietly, he began working with a pouring activity. He chatted the whole time, telling her about the class, about me, about what he was doing, about things he liked, about his parents, about his house. And every so often, he would help her throw away her tissue and then go and get her a fresh one. And he did this every single day that week. Every morning, he took her hand, sat next to her, and stayed with her until she felt safe to try her own work in the classroom. And when Qinghai's mother told him how kind that was, he simply said, "And that's because I cried once too, so I knew how it felt." That moment has stayed with me because it reminded me that grace and courtesy isn't always just about lessons on how to shake hands or say excuse me. It's about giving children the tools to live with empathy, dignity, and kindness. It's about helping them build a community where they can hold one another up. And often, children live this truth even more beautifully than we ever could as adults. Of course, we'll explore this more deeply when we talk about the role of the adult in the classroom. But the fundamental point here is that children learn how to treat others by experiencing it. If we want the children in our classrooms to live with grace and courtesy, then we must first model it for them and then teach them how to practice it themselves. And they will, because it is through grace and courtesy that children find their place, their sense of belonging, and even their purpose within the environment and the Montessori community. Without this kind of structure, these boundaries, and these expectations for how to treat themselves and to treat one another and the environment, the classroom becomes chaotic. And as I've said before, in chaos, the child cannot create the order and understanding they so deeply need. Grace and courtesy is what transforms that chaos into community. Now, it's important to pause and remind ourselves, as teachers, parents, and adults, how the child really learns. One of the greatest mistakes I believe a new Montessori educator can make is to start the year by going through a printed list of grace and courtesy lessons, checking them off one by one, and then never returning to them again.
Oh no!
Grace and courtesy is not something that can be taught and done with. As humans, we are always learning from our mistakes. We are reflecting on our actions and refining how we live in community. Think about it. When friendships break up, we step back and consider our behavior and make our changes. When we lose or dislike a job, we reflect on what isn't working and how to improve. When families argue, they return to their corners, adjust their listening skills, and rebuild their bonds of love. This is adult grace and courtesy, and it never ends. So why would we think it should end in the classroom? Grace and courtesy doesn't stop in October. It's not something you teach once and assume the children have mastered. In fact, many new teachers fall into the trap of believing children, quote-unquote, get it, once they start following routines in November. But unless these lessons are revisited, reinforced, and encouraged, the structure can unravel quickly. That's why it's best to present grace and courtesy regularly, often before issues arrive, if possible. But even when we do notice difficulties, that's an opportunity for a new presentation. Friends, do you remember how we push in chairs? Let's come together and practice again. These moments of observation are key. Grace and courtesy is beautiful in that way, because we can observe and design lessons in response to the real living needs of the classroom community. We also need to take a moment to highlight the language element of grace and courtesy as well, because this is an element that is also at the heart of it all. So much of what these lessons do is give children the language of connection. When children first enter the Montessori classroom, they are often coming from much smaller environments, their homes with only their family members and perhaps a few close friends. They may not yet be accustomed to the larger set of social norms and expectations that come with being part of a bigger community. Our task, then, is to help them adapt, not only to the culture of the classroom, but also to the wider culture they are beginning to experience. And one of the most effective ways we do this is by providing them with vocabulary, words and phrases that allow them to express respect, kindness, and empathy. This includes the language of sharing, of excusing themselves, of expressing gratitude, of talking about feelings, and more. Think of a child who desperately wants to join in with a group of friends, or who notices a classmate struggling, or who simply wants to show kindness, but they don't yet have the words. Without models, they don't know how. Grace and courtesy bridges that gap by giving them language and gestures they can use right away. Can I play with you? Would you like some help? I'm sorry I hurt your feelings. Suddenly, they have tools to turn their natural desire for connection into meaningful action. This is why grace and courtesy is not just about manners. Again, it is about giving children the social language that unlocks belonging. It empowers them to connect with others, to express themselves with confidence, and to become active, respectful members of their community. I also think it's important here to highlight the element of conflict resolution as part of the grace and courtesy lessons Montessori educators weave throughout the year. Conflict resolution connects closely with peace education, another cornerstone of Montessori philosophy. If grace and courtesy is about helping children practice the rituals and norms of society, then one of the most important skills they can learn is how to deal with conflict, how to listen to others, how to communicate their own perspective, and how to navigate opposing points of view with respect. In the CASA classroom, with children ages 2.5 to 6, this work really centers on two things: learning how to handle conflict and learning how to make their voices heard. For this, I often turn to two key resources: The Peace Rose, a children's book that introduces a visual tool for conflict resolution, and Jane Nelson's Positive Discipline. The Peace Rose in particular has been invaluable. It gives children a concrete, hands-on way to take turns speaking and listening when a disagreement arises. For example, if two children are fighting over a material, I might step in and say, "This seems like a good time to stop and talk this over with the help of the Peace Rose." We would go to a quiet spot in the classroom, and one child would begin by holding the rose and sharing their feelings using I feel statements, something I've taken out of positive discipline. For example, I feel upset because you took the blocks before I was finished. Then the rose is passed to the other child, who has their turn to share what they feel happened. Back and forth they go, speaking and listening. First, they name what they feel happened, and then they name how it made them feel, the emotions that they experienced. The final step is for each child to suggest what they would like to happen next time. The teacher can guide gently if needed, helping children reframe ideas into useful strategies, but every child's voice is respected. Over time, something beautiful happens. Children internalize this process. In my classroom, the peace rose became so natural that eventually children didn't need me as a mediator. They would take the rose themselves, sit together, and work out their conflicts independently. And so this is the ultimate goal, to provide a structure for conflict resolution that children can carry with them as a lifelong skill. Through this process, they don't just solve problems, they also experience the empowerment of using their voice, of knowing they are listened to, and of feeling that their perspective matters. This, at its heart, is what grace and courtesy is all about, giving children the framework of social norms in which they are respected, they are valued, and they learn that they matter. Maria Montessori spoke often of children coming together and forming bonds, which she described as a society by cohesion, a microcosm of society built on respect, dignity, and grace. In her work, The Absorbent Mind, she wrote, "This unity born among the children, which is produced by a spontaneous need, directed by an unconscious power, and vitalized by a social spirit, is a phenomenon needing a name, and I call it cohesion in the social unit." When we step back and look at our role as Montessori guides, it becomes clear that supporting children through the presentations of grace and courtesy is fundamental to this process of social cohesion. Grace and courtesy acts as the bonding glue of unity, teaching children the shared values of community life. Through these small, practical lessons, children learn how to contribute to the group, and they grow proud of their ability to do so. Older children often take joy in becoming mentors and role models, while younger children feel empowered as they begin to engage with materials and routines for the first time. Slowly, the children become more conscious of their community, a community that exists independently of the adults, and because it is theirs, it is deeply meaningful. This independence motivates them all the more to participate, to engage, and to uphold the social norms of grace and courtesy they have been introduced to. Grace and courtesy is so fundamental because it is through these exercises that we support the self-construction of the child. We are helping them grow into individuals who are authentic, respectful, and compassionate. Through these lessons, we guide children in learning healthy ways to resolve conflict, how to share differing opinions, and how to work through opposing points of view while still maintaining grace. Ultimately, we are helping them understand how to establish, maintain, and deepen relationships with themselves, with others, and with the world around them. Through grace and courtesy, we are teaching children that the world matters, that they matter, and that they have a role in nurturing and protecting this truth as they grow into the future. And so again, grace and courtesy is not just about manners. It's about building the foundation for a more peaceful, respectful, and connected world. And it begins right here with a child in our classrooms. Thank you so much for joining me today on Imperfect Balance. I hope this conversation has given you something to reflect on as you think about your own role in modeling and guiding grace and courtesy in your community. In our next episode, we'll continue exploring this theme by shifting our focus to the adult. What it means for us as guides, parents, or community members to embody grace and courtesy in our everyday interactions. This is Miss Lily, signing off. Until next time, may you carry grace, kindness, and balance into every part of your day. Take care. Thanks for listening.